The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us on the line right now is our good friend, legal analyst Joe DeGeneva. Joe, there is so much to talk about. We got Hillary news coming out our ears about the email server and other stuff. But I want to first start by talking about something that's going to happen today. This is the last day of the Supreme Court's current session. There are three big cases out there, but the one that is catching a lot of local attention is the Bob McDonnell case. Former governor, he's been charged with all kinds of public corruption, and a lot of people are looking at the way the questioning went, and almost universally, those who were in attendance at those arguments in this particular case felt that it was going to be a pretty good outcome for Bob McDonnell. Your sense?
Yes, the questioning during oral argument, although that's never an indication of how they're really going to roll. It seemed that most of the justices were very, very skeptical of the government's theory of prosecution, which was the few things that Governor McDonnell did as governor for the fellow who was trying to sell these health supplement products did not meet the standard of official acts, which traditionally have been part of bribery prosecutions. And it looked like the court was going to swing toward overturning his conviction on those counts. Now with Scalia gone, I still think there probably are enough votes to overturn the conviction, because even Breyer and Ginsburg were asking questions about a government overreach in the way they charged him. So my guess is he's going to win. What he's going to win, though, is an open question. I'm not sure how far they're going to go, but I think it'll be a major victory for him. I still think there are enough votes for him to win.
Oh, and well, so now given that, does this set a precedent, though, for the Obama administration and the Justice Department? Because yes. Is there any repercussions here?
Well, it sets a lot of precedent. I mean, if the Supreme Court rules that they have misinterpreted the bribery laws and the official acts statute, that is binding precedent. Sure, it's a Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
That's the law of the land. The Supreme Court has struck down a number of criminal cases in the political arena over the last 25 years because of overreaching by the Justice Department. This was clearly an overreach by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of Virginia. They said that going to a reception and talking right. about this guy's products was an official act, even though most of the things were done by his wife, who is not an employee of the state of Virginia. So, I mean, the bottom line is the court seemed very skeptical of the government's theory of official acts, and I think they're going to overturn it today.
I should know better than to use the word precedent with a legal analyst and attorney. What I meant was, you look at the pattern here now. You've got the Supreme Court smacking them down over the labor board and the South Carolina uh-huh. Boeing decision.
Right.
You've got the Supreme Court smacking them down over the illegal immigration amnesty thing, although
right.
it was a 4-4 tie. You've now got this. There's a mm-hmm. And there are a few others that don't come to mind.
Well,
right. Oh, the recess appointments.
Yeah.
This Supreme Court has spent a lot of time telling this administration that they have completely gone off the reservation with regard to executive authority.
There's no doubt that we have perhaps the single most lawless administration in the last 50 years, but it has meant nothing to them. The administration doesn't care. If they don't get what they want, they just keep doing whatever they want to do. The evidence of that is in the immigration decision
sure
the president made. So what we have in the White House is a scofflaw. And someone who is so arrogant and so believing that he can go over the heads of the court. Remember what he did to the court on health care, how he warned the court that they could not overrule him, how he went after them on Citizens United at the State of the Union address. This is a president who believes, and I've become more convinced of this every day, he's a dictator. This guy is a dictator. He's right out of the Hugo Chavez playbook. The only difference is we have a legitimate court system here, which they don't have in Venezuela, and he has gotten smacked down. The way he's really like Chavez is he doesn't care that the court smacked him down, and he'll distinguish those things and just continue doing whatever he wants to do. And guess what? He's got a 52% approval rating from the American people. Welcome to the land of dictatorship.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's scary. The Supreme Court also expected today to issue a first major abortion ruling since 2007.
Yes.
This has to do with the Texas law that says that the abortion clinics in that state had to meet a certain health standard, the same kind of standards that you would find in a hospital, that doctors had to have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital, which many of them did not have. The effect of that is that it reduced the number of abortion clinics in the state by about 50%, and they're going to decide whether or not that law should stand. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a toss-up. It could very well be a 4-4 split, which means that the lower court ruling upholding the Texas statute
right.
would stand, just like in the immigration case. The circuit ruling would be the law, and the abortion clinic statute with stricter conditions would be upheld. It seems to me that on abortion, this is pretty tight. I think it's going to be 4-4. I doubt very much if they're going to be able to get a 5-3 out of this one for upholding it. They might, but I think it's more likely to be 4-4, and for the clinic law to stand with the ruling from the circuit.
This one's all about Kennedy, though, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
As everything seems to
be. Well, he seems to be. You know, this is one area where he seems to have kept. You know, pretty conservative as opposed to affirmative action and civil rights and things like that. I think on abortion. He's pretty Catholic, if I may say so.
Joe DeGeneva, we're going to hold you over for another segment because we have so much to talk about with regard to Hillary Clinton emails and things like that. So let me just ask one more Supreme Court question for you. We had the affirmative action case out of the University of Texas.
Yes.
We had the illegal immigration case and the amnesty that the president unconstitutionally executed there out of Texas.
Yeah.
We have this abortion law that we're going to hear about today. Out of Texas. What is your opinion here about how all of these cases going to the Supreme Court seem to be either be laws passed by the state of Texas or lawsuits instigated by the attorney general or governor of Texas?
Well, what you have is the beautiful idea of federalism on display in Texas.
Yes,
sir. You have a vibrant Republican Party in the state of Texas. You have a vibrant legal system, which has been changed under the former governor, Rick Perry, who did judicial reform to tamp down on class action lawsuits and the plaintiff's bar, which was, I mean, they were just basically criminals running wild down there. So you have very good public policy officials who are not afraid to take a stand. Texas is a lot like the South used to be. You know, like Texas is kind of the South and the West combined into a country that we call a state. And they have a different type of politics down there. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it's wonderful that they're generating these cases. But Texas is different. It's like the California of the West.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different country.
It's a republic.
It is a country.
But isn't it precious to hear Democrats say, oh, these Texans, they're just using the judicial system for their own political purposes.
Like the other side doesn't do that.
Yes, yes. These are the people who use the judicial system to achieve every known goal that they could not achieve at the ballot box.
Well, as mentioned, we're going to keep you over because we haven't even gotten to the Hillary email stuff. So we'll have
God
more with you in just
soul.
For a moment.
God bless her little soul.
Yeah, and she keeps us busy, doesn't she?
Yes, doesn't she?
Stay with us, Joe DeGeneva.
Yep. Joe DeGeneva, let's pick it up here on the Clinton emails. Something got released last week through the Judicial Watch's FOIA lawsuit, and I find this to be fascinating for two reasons. The first is we learned that the State Department, the entire State Department, had to change and shut down some of their security protocols because Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State's emails were getting lost or stuck through spam filters because they didn't know how to look at it. So the only way they could fix it was to shut down certain security protocols. Now, that's a problem in and of itself, how her selfish decision to use this private, unsecured, unauthorized email server affected the entire State Department security. But secondly, the smoking gun email that revealed this was not released by Hillary Clinton in her original batch of emails to the State Department. It came through a Huma Abedin release, which suggests that maybe this got deleted as one of those personal emails. Joe, go.
Well, there's no question that Mrs. Clinton first of all, broke the law by establishing the private server in her home in Chappaqua for the conduct of all of her official government business. That violates the Official Records Act. It violated the espionage laws. There isn't any question about that. The fact that various emails have not been produced is completely consistent with their effort to prevent disclosure. Remember, the server was set up for one reason and one reason only: to prevent disclosure, to keep secret certain things, and to allow her to prevent them from being presented in court, on Capitol Hill, to the press, and to the public through the Freedom of Information Act. This is simply more of the same, and it shows that Uma Abedin was the key person involved, along with Cheryl Mills, in managing the non-disclosure of information. It is really quite a remarkable set of historical facts, which puts the FBI in a quite unusual position of having almost too much evidence. This area, along with the Clinton Foundation, remain open. I am just amazed that the email server thing has not popped from the Bureau. There is so much there. We shall see. I mean, but this is more of the same. Nobody should be surprised that Uma Abedin and Secretary Clinton did not produce information required by law. That's what they've done from day one.
Well, and then there was this other story that broke late last week. Associated Press has been for 3 years trying to get the actual details of who the secretary met with when she was Secretary of State. Yeah. And you know, there's an official daybook reference, and then there's the real calendar, and they've been trying to get that. And here's the lead line. Associated Press has revealed that Clinton's official calendar omitted 75 meetings, some with donors to her, or the Family Foundation. How does this play into that investigation that's also going on, into the Clinton Foundation?
It is not a surprise that calendar entries were not produced. Calendars are one of the most important things for investigators. They look at them, whether they are paper or electronic. It's the first thing they subpoena.
Sure do.
Because it creates baselines of information. It gives them dates, locations, times, and people. The people who were not produced, the calendars that were not produced, deal with people who met secretly with the Secretary of State by setting it up through Uma Abedin, and then after the meetings, and they had issues before the government involving the Secretary of State, trade issues, licensing issues. After those meetings, those same people gave money to the Clinton Foundation or gave Hillary Clinton $250,000 for a speech.
That's right.
And those calendars were not produced. Now, it's interesting that they produced a calendar that didn't have them on them, and then they had a second calendar that did have them on them. Why do you do that? The answer is the same reason as the server. You don't want people to know what you're doing and who you're meeting with. This does not get better for her. However, even though this looks even it's more of the same, what will happen is the question. What, if anything, will happen? What will the Bureau do? This is quite a challenge for them. In fact, it's their, if I may say so, the Bureau's dignity is at stake here. This is no longer a cutesy little investigation.
Well,
this is so big in terms of the arrogance and the defiance of federal law. I don't know how they don't do something.
This is akin to a business that keeps two sets of books.
Of course.
This is exactly what this is. But I mean,
scam artist.
Do you have some sense that the case is strong enough now that it'll be impossible for the Justice Department?
Let me tell you something. We live in la-la land now with federal law enforcement. Given the statements being made by U.S. attorneys, these political hacks that they've made U.S. attorneys, just look at the Attorney General. That idiotic statement about Orlando. We're gonna win these people over with love. She's standing there with all these people dead, and she's making these moronic comments, and they're not releasing the 911 tapes because they don't want to encourage terrorists. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. These people are in a la-la land. Now, if that's the way they think, how easy is it going to be for them to say there's no there in everything involving the Clintons? I have no confidence in the Attorney General. I have absolutely no confidence in the U.S. attorneys. I have confidence in the FBI. I just don't know whether or not they have any influence.
All right. We're going to leave it right there.
Thanks for joining us, Joe DeGeneva.
You bet, guys. Thank you.